red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Welcome to this special episode of the Red Robin podcast. Chris, it's great to speak to you again. This episode's going to be a review of the Huddersfield friendly, but also 2022 season preview. I remember this time last year, mate, when we was discussing 2021 and we wrote all our notes down. We was exciting about doing our first ever proper podcast to the fans, and we've come on leaps and bounds in a year. But it's great to be doing another one.
Really, the story. I think them and Catalan's obviously.
Technical glitch.
Christopher, come on. I'll be leaving if you carry on. Let's start again. How good is it to be doing one of these again? Rugby's coming around the corner just, you know, a few weeks now, next Friday until Rovers' first game. But looking forward to doing a 2022 preview, buddy.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And in the, I know you went to the Dewsbury friendly, and obviously we've had the Huddersfield game, and that's definitely whetted my appetite for rugby league and the return of Super League. And there's been a bit of momentum building, haven't there, with the return of the Championship. Obviously, Premier Sports showing the Featherstone York game. So, you know, we've got just under a couple of weeks now until that Wigan game, and I'm definitely excited for it, mate. I'm ready.
Yeah, so am I. Obviously, we've already got people joining us. Sam HK, evening, guys. Evening to you as well, Sam. So let's talk about the Huddersfield game, buddy. Obviously, Sunday at Craven Park. I was in the West Stand, you was in the North Stand. The 24-18.
Very posh.
Very posh indeed. It was absolute because I was hanging. That was why I had to sit down in a comfy spot with my granddad and my friends and just watch the Robins. But do you know what? It was... Pre-season's pre-season. How many times can we talk about it? We're not going to take much away from the game, but let's talk about pre-game. I was sat with my hot chocolate watching the lads warm up, and, you know, Will Dagger and Moss, I was going to say Mossy Massoy, then God, we are rusty tonight, and Albert Betty going to a collision, and it looks like them two was going to be out for the game. It was squeaky bum time, I saw that. We put it on, James O'Brien put it on, a few fans saying what's happened. But luckily, that they was able to play on. But when the two lads went down, I thought, here we bloody go again. Did you see it? Was you in the North Stand at the time? Because I was on my phone and I looked up and I saw Albert walking off and Will Dagger clenching his ankle. But scary times, but luckily they both came back unscathed.
Yeah, I'd just come into the ground and then I'd seen it on I think it was Twitter, that... You know, I think it might even be what you put on about him going off. And obviously, you know, at the time when you see that, you're fearing the worst, aren't you? But obviously, good news that they managed to come back out. And I think, to be fair, I think they was going to rest Vettey, weren't they? I think it was him who put his hand up and said, No, look, I want minutes. I want to get out on the pitch. And I think he came and did a 30-minute stint to get, you know, more minutes under his belt. So credit to him, because he seems to be really raring to go for the start of the season. So credit to him that he did do that. And you know, obviously the physios must have been confident that there was no serious damage for him to allow him to go back out. But, you know, when you see that in the build-up, you know, it's heart in the mouth moments, isn't it? Because, you know, you want to wrap these players up in cotton wool in pre-season. Obviously, it's hard to do that, isn't it? Because they need to be out on the pitch. But you definitely don't want to be going into the season with too many injuries.
No, you don't. We're going to discuss injuries for round one and some new up-and-coming injuries, which is a shame, later in the show. But opening the game, I mean, Rovers lined up with Dagger, Wood, Takarangi, SKD, Ryan Hall, Jordan Abdul and Mikey Lewis in the halves, Albert Vettey, Matt Parcell was back, and George King in the front row, Kane Lynette, Louis Johnson and Matty Staughton. And Rovers started like an house on fire, mate. I think Huddersfield's starting team was strong. They brought a lot of their young kids on in the second half, but we'll discuss that in a moment. But I think the first try, nice little kick from Will Dagger, eventually goes grounded by Ryan Hall, and then finally scrums are back, a nice set move again. Will Dagger was instrumental, bit of a break from him, and then we got the second try through Sam Wood, which was a scrum play which we haven't seen for about 2.5 years. So it was great to see them back, and it proves that they are quite beneficial, especially from Rovers, who are quite structured in a way sometimes. As much as we're off the cuff, a lot of our tries do come off that Abdul Dagger, whoever's at fullback, and it worked wonders, and Sam Wood went over. But really good opening 15 from the Reds, and I think that's what we've got to do going into this season. You can't let up. You can't get yourself into a 10-18-0 defeat after about 20 minutes. You've got to start strong in this division, even though it was a friendly, really promising signs from the Reds.
Yeah, I think if he was at the game, Joe, I think them first 15, 20 minutes told you everything you wanted to know about how Rovers were going to play this season. There was offloads. There was moving the ball. Yeah, there was a few knock-ons. There was mistakes. I think there was, you know, the players are still rusty. But then first 15, 20 minutes just showed you exactly how all Kingston Rovers are going to play next year. And to be honest, it's not that much different from last season, is it? You know, the style of attacking play that we're going to be playing in 2022 is exactly the same as last season. It was good to see the offloads. I think. I don't think I saw Takaranga get tackled in the full game. I think every time he'd come into contact, there was an offload. But he wasn't the only one. You saw plenty of players trying to offload. You saw us trying to play a quick game. And you know, for that early scoreline was well worth it because, like I said, we made mistakes. But we was definitely the team who looked the strongest, who looked the best. And the points on the board reflected that.
They did, and I think with that offload game, we didn't see it much in the second half when Jez was at number nine. But for Matt Barcelo, who was coming back making his first hit out of 2022, the amount of breaks he made in the opening quarter, I thought George King was really good, Albert Vette in his stint. And I think that's how we've come to seal Kingston Rovers now. And as much as we say teams are going to develop and teams are going to know how we play, if Rovers are on form and if Rovers are doing that, there's no better span in the league that it can work for. We know probably Coote's going to get the one shirt eventually. But if it's Jez, Matt Parcell, Abdul, Rowan Milnes, Mikey Lewis, if we can get that offload game with the outside backs as well, you've got Sean Kennedy, Brad Takarangi, Sam Wood and Ryan Hall, all very powerful outside backs. That could probably be the way Tony Smith, Danny Maguire and the other assistant coaches settle Kingston Rovers up. And in that first 30, we did look unstoppable, especially when Kane Lynette went over for that try as well. Another well-worked move. And Rovers looked really comfortable in attack, which was good to see because it was a very... January aren't the best conditions anyhow, are they?
No, and what it highlighted for me as well is the importance of Jordan Abdul, and you know it's almost like every time he's got the ball in hand, something's going to happen. You know, you expect him, whether it's a shift out wide to the right, whether it's a kick to the left. You know, you're always expecting something to happen, and we saw a few glimpses from Mikey Lewis, didn't we? Where he kept hold of the ball, he tried a step, he tried to break through the line. And I think that combination is going to really stand us in good stead for the season. You know, I think expectation levels around Mikey Lewis are probably still a bit too high for me. I still think he's very raw, he's still learning the game. No doubt last season he showed us glimpses of what he can do. And I think Tony Smith's going to be probably really smart with him next season and not play him every game. I think he's got more than an able backup in Rowan Milnes. And I expect them to probably share a bit of the game time. But Jordan Abdul, for me, showed his importance. And like I said, he's really coming of age as a player now. And we're going to talk about predictions later on in the podcast, aren't we? About who we think maybe Man of Steel, etc., internationals. And for me, Jordan Abdul is going to be up there because I think he's such a leader and he's matured into such a good player. And that was evident in the Huddersfield game that when he had the ball in hand, we looked a really strong outfit.
It was, and I think what we've seen over the two friendlies, we've started with Abdul and Lewis. They've played the first 40. Then Rowan Milnes has come on for the final 40, and Mikey and Abdul have done 20 stints either side. They've all got the same amount of playing time there or thereabouts. For me, I think before we speak about the second half and how it petered off and some things that Rovers need to develop on, I think come next Friday, no disrespect to Milnes, but for me, what I've seen, I do think we're strongest when Abdul and Lewis will be our starting 6 and 7, Parcell starting 9 and Jez on the bench. Fullback, we'll obviously discuss that. But Lachlan Coote, when he's fit, I think he will be for next Friday. But for me, I think that all-important span, I think that'll be the one for the net, for there, especially for the first few weeks, definitely. I don't know if you agree, mate, but I think Abdul and Lewis get the nod at 6 and 7.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Tony Smith would be crazy, wouldn't he, if he changed that after playing them both in pre-season. I think Rowan Milnes, you know, I think people forget he's still a young player himself. You know, Rowan Milnes he seems to have been around for a good few years, but he's what, 22, 23, you know, which is no age for the position that he plays. So it's great to have another young English halfback in the team. I think he's definitely going to go with Abdul Lewis, and it's going to be really interesting to see that dynamic when Coote comes into play, because we saw it at St. Helens. Coote, he's not afraid to come into the line and almost play another half back. So we're going to have some real attacking options. And one player who probably got a lot of praise and deservedly so was Will Dagher, who I think played a real mature role for the team on Sunday in both attack and defence.
Yeah, he did. Will Dagher, I thought, was really astute. I thought George King brought a bit of firepower back in the middle, and so did Corbin Sims. A lot of people are saying that, you know, Corbin Sims, even though it was a friendly, had his best game in a Rovers shirt. And I think that's what we need to see off Corbin. And yeah, it was a pre-season match, and yeah, it doesn't really mean anything, the stats, who scored, how many tackles, but it's that confidence level, and you saw the two big hits he did. He wasn't flying in with his big wrist like he's been doing last season. And he shows when he just puts his head down, when he's composed, when he's not shooting out the line, he can be a really big threat. He doesn't make as many metres as the likes of Albert Vettier, George King, comparing him to people like Alex Walmsley or Morgan Knowles at Saints, who break the line constantly. But if Corbin Sims can get three or four men in the ruck, win the floor, quick play the ball, that's when Rovers can play at the best and be on the front foot. I think if Corbin can come off the bench, it looks like we're going to be starting with Albert Vettier and George King. But having someone of Corbin's calibre, and if he can have a bit of a second season syndrome like Sean Kenny Dowell did, then we could be in for a much better year from the Fijian, especially with the World Cup coming up. But these two friendlies, apart from that missed tackle in the Dewsbury game, Sims has looked a really composed figure compared to what he was last season, even though it is just two pre-season matches.
Yeah, and no, Sam's saying... He thinks Sims has learnt where to put his head as well. And you saw that in the tackle, didn't you, out on the wing? Was it on...
McGilvery.
McGilvery, you know. I mean, to be fair, I don't know what Sims was doing out there in the first place when you've got a prop making a tackle out on the wing. What really impressed me, though, with that tackle, wasn't just a tackle, it was the secondary movement as well to then get him into touch. Yeah, to go back at it. And you know, I was scratching my head to think, well, why is he out there in the first place, out on the wing? But it was a fantastic tackle. And the only thing I'd say about Sims is that he sometimes overcommits in the tackle. And he almost, you know, if he's playing against, you know, someone who's got a bit of footwork, he can easily beat Sims sometimes because he's so up front, he's so quick to get to the tackle.
Plants his feet, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's so quick to put a big hit on someone. If you read it, you passed him before he's even got a chance to plant his feet down. But what he would say is that when he goes one-to-one with another attacker who's going to run straight at him, Sims is fearless. You know, he'll put his body there, sometimes to his own detriment, which is a problem because we saw that last season with some of the efforts he made and the concussions he received on the end of it. But, you know, he's been home. He's seen his family. He's rejuvenated. He's had probably a longer pre-season over at Rovers than he did at the start of last season. And, you know, let's be honest, big things are expected of him this season. And I think he's realised the gravitas of the situation. And I think he's pumped and I think he's ready for 2022.
Yeah, let's hope so, mate. And, you know, going into the second half, only one try for the Robins in the second half, again, from the big red machine, Kane Lynette, a very similar try. We didn't make that many substitutions. I mean, you look at the Rovers bench, you only had Jez Litton, Corbin, Jimmy Carnos, Rowan Milnes, Greg Richards, Tom Garrett, Will Tate and PLT. Whereas you're looking at some of the Huddersfield bench and you're looking at people like Fenton Rodgers, Kieran Rush, George Roby, Chester Butler, Ethan Wainwright, Jaden Days, who, you know, not household names at all. I'll be honest, I've never heard of them. And I thought Rovers really struggled when their reserves and under-19 lads came on. The number 35, about 2 foot on a peanut with a scrum at, he absolutely dominated down the middle of the park. And I think that proves that we're still probably a little bit away from where we need to be fitness wise, probably energy levels, commitment in the second half. And it just shows that it doesn't matter who you're against, these Super League teams, even in a friendly, they can cause you some trouble if you take your eye off the ball. And I think Rovers took the foot off the pedal. Obviously, we know we didn't want as any more injuries, even though Louis Johnson had gone off, which we'll discuss later. But a bit of a disappointing, you know, climax in the second half. And I came away thinking, you know, we should have been a little bit better there, but that's all things to work on and it's not the end of the world. But I think Rovers have just got to be a little bit smarter there because they had the break, they had the numbers, they probably had the better team, but the Huddersfield reserves and 19s had something to prove and they was definitely up for it and proved that they're probably wherever you get any Ian Watson side. There were some good youngsters there from the Claret and Golds.
Yeah, and what the noticeable difference was is the speed of the ruck, wasn't it? Huddersfield speeded the game up and Rovers were... We're left wanting that a lot of times, you know. We seem to struggle with that. And, you know, I think there was an element of the amount of changes Rover started to make. I think we started to look a bit disjointed. We had players playing out of position. You know, it probably went the way of many pre-season friendlies. And I do still think the scoreline flattered Huddersfield a bit, because I think we'd have been able to step up a gear if we needed to. And I think we could have put more points on the board if we probably were just a little bit more coordinated. Like I said, we looked disjointed. And I think Huddersfield started to pick us off a bit, didn't we? And I think what stood out to me, though, was the couple of errors what led to Huddersfield tries, one-on-one tackles that were missed. I think we saw the one where, Dagger missed it. Who else missed? Was it Litton? Was it Tololidi?
He stepped inside, didn't he?
And I think obviously that's the rustiness that Tony Smith's been talking about, you know, some players just need to sharpen up in the defence, because he was talking about, if you read his comments at post-game, that he wasn't upset about how we set up as a unit. It was more about the one-on-one errors that he was upset about. And that'll come over time. You know, it's still pre-season and, you know, they'll be working hard to work on them errors in training. So overall, it was a decent hit out. It was a typical pre-season friendly. I couldn't understand why people stayed away. I think there was only a crowd of, 2,300, yeah. Which was, probably par for the course with pre-season friendlies. I know a lot of people who I know said, you know what, I ain't bothering. What's the point? Whereas other people wanted just to get back watching rugby league. So everyone's got, I suppose no one's wrong, no one's right. But for me, it was a typical pre-season friendly. The only downside is the injury that we've suffered to Louis Johnson on the back of it.
It is, definitely. And I mean, when we do our preview off, we're going to go to your interview with John Davidson in a minute, mate, where we'll discuss Louis Johnson's injury and who's available for round one. Before we wrap up pre-season 22 for the Robins, three winners and three losers. I think I'd say the losers, Louis Johnson, just because of that injury sustained in the final game against Huddersfield. And my other two, and this is no disrespect to them both, the Mike's getting the team, but I think Tom Garrett and Greg Richards, I think they've struggled. I think Tom Garrett struggled the past two games. I've got high hopes, especially for Garrett. We've seen what Richards is like. Tom is a bit of an unknown quantity, but he's probably learning how to play full-time and to be getting into that structured role. He's been at Dewsbury where he can get the ball and do what he wants as a prop forward, whereas now he's got to learn all the moves. He's playing with internationals. I think them three are probably looking at this pre-season and going, oh, could have done better. And unfortunately for Louis Johnson, I think my winners, you're probably looking at PLT, just getting into that first team system. He didn't really play much on the weekend, but I think last week against Dewsbury, he showed what he could do. Sam Wood has been absolutely excellent in these two games, and we speak about Ben Crooks' injury. He's definitely my right winger for the for round one and for the foreseeable future. And I'm going to say Brad Takarangi. You know, we know what's happened. We don't need to mention it, what happened over pre-season. But he's come back. He hasn't let the critics get him down. He's come back bigger and better. And I think he's shown what he's about. And I'm hopefully Brad can take his game to the next level in 2022. I know it's a bit of a tough one. I've put you on the spot, mate. But before we go into the interview with John Davidson from the League Express, who's your three winners and three losers of pre-season 2022 for Hull Kingston Rovers?
Yeah, I think you can't deny that Garrett, Richards have struggled a little bit, but I think that's to be expected. I don't think they've not come to us as a finished article, have they? They've come as a bit of a work in progress. Tony Smith needs a bit more time working with them, and you know, they haven't stunk the place out, have they? They've just found it hard to adjust and I think you'll see once the reserve grade, once they start playing more regularly, I think you're going to see them step up. I definitely think them too. I think winners, I think PLT definitely, although I think he looked a bit lost out on the wing when he came on against Huddersfield. I definitely don't think wing's going to be his position. Not for a while yet anyway.
No.
Sam Wood, I think he's the one who's really stood out. I think Sam Wood is the one who's, and in light of Ben Crook's injury that was announced today, that he's going to be out for at least a further 6 weeks, I think Sam Wood has made that right wing spot his own. And if you look at that Huddersfield game, what you would say is that we look far more balanced with Kenny Dowell, Hall out on the left, and Takarangi and Wood out on the right. We seem to have a lot more balance. And what we've probably lost in pace from having a Ben Crooks or an Ethan Ryan out there, I think we've definitely gained in defensive solidity. And I think that was what Tony Smith was really hankering after, having that consistency across the pitch. So yeah, you have put me on the spot, mate, but I'll give you Takarangi and Wood as my two standouts for now, and Garrett and Richards for must do a bit better.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I think we're both in unison there. And we've got two special little interviews that you did a few weeks ago with John Davidson. If you don't know, John is an Australian sports journalist, lives over here. He works for the League Express, leaguehub.com. He's on a By the Balls podcast. He's a really nice bloke. He's a friend of the podcast. He always messages us, retweets our stuff. So we will start with the first interview, which is, I believe it's talking about Hull Kingston Rovers last season, Chris. So before we go into it, do you want to lead us in and what you spoke to John about?
Yeah, and John, of course, was the one who brought the story that Lachlan Coop would be signing for Hull Kingston Rovers. And I think he was discredited at the time as, no, that's not going to happen. And obviously it has. So he knows his stuff if you follow him on social media. But first part of the interview, he talks to us about Rovers in 2021, talks to us about the off-field progress of the club. He gives his opinion on Vette, Takarangi and Corbin Sims. Of course, Lachlan Coote, and he also gives us some info on Tony Smith's future and why Rovers fans might not necessarily need to be worried about him not signing a new contract yet.
I ain't listened to it. I'm looking forward. Go.
The big story, the big surprise packet of Super League. You know, they finished bottom the year before, and I guess everything just seemed to click. The recruitment was really good. I mean, I think, you know, Tony Smith's proven as a coach, isn't he, what he's done at Warrington and Leeds. And I guess the young crop of players that they've managed to assemble there, you know, Mikey Lewis, Rowan Milnes, there's other ones, that Ethan Ryan, you know, there's a lot of young, exciting English talent there. And it just sort of all came together. And I think it also, if you look at what's happening with the stadium and the direction, you know, the changes that Paul Aiken's made since coming as CEO, I think if you're a whole KR fan, it's probably the best period since, I don't know, the 80s. You'd know probably better than myself and the history of the club. But yeah, I think there should be a lot of positivity around Craven Park and a lot of excitement about the future.
Yeah, I'll ask you about the on-field stuff shortly, but off-field, I think the appointment of Paul Aiken's been huge, and Neil Hudgell confirming that he's going to stay at the club and he's going to continue investing has been massive news, and it's very welcome, you know, to us as Hull Kingston Rovers supporters. I just wondered from afar and amongst other Super League clubs, do you think that the club stock's risen? And like you said, the off-field stuff such as Craven Street, but I get a sense that people take Rovers a bit more seriously now. And I think it's obviously a combination of on-field, off-field stuff. But, you know, I've seen Paul Aiken being invited to be part of working groups at Super League and stuff. And our stock just in general seems to have risen amongst rugby league.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it has. I think probably for quite a long while, you know, Hull KR was probably seen in that bottom group of clubs with your Wakefields, your Salfords, you know, that kind of echelon. And, you know, usually sort of battling relegation. But I think that is changing. And if you look at the role that Paul's got sort of in shaping the future of the game and the advisory groups, you know, he's got a tremendous CV. You know, I've had a few dealings with him and, you know, very professional, very impressive figure. And as you said, you know, the off-field in terms of kind of that party atmosphere, I got to see it a little bit last year, and that was really, you know, I was impressed by that and the way the sport needs to go. And I think if you look at the size of the fan base, and obviously Hull as a city, but Hull KR specifically, you know, there is a lot of potential there. They are, you know, a big club in terms of the landscape, or at least a middle tier to big club. So I think if, you know, everything can get put together, which it seems to be, and there's kind of continued success or improvement, which means this season so important, then things can only, you know, get better.
Yeah, and I think one of the challenges for the club is to get more people through the turnstiles now. I think last season, when people was able to come back and start watching games, I think we was only averaging about 6,500, and, you know, that's got to increase, you know, to more people coming through the gate, generates more revenue, etc. But a big part of that is the product, what people are getting to watch on the pitch. And I think for me, the challenge this season isn't necessarily Rovers being better, it's more competing with other clubs who have invested a bit more wisely and are probably expected to to be better themselves. So how do you see Rovers being able to meet that challenge of not only meeting us as spectators and supporters, our expectations, but also being able to compete with teams and who were probably expected to do better themselves?
Yeah, I think one of the key things, and you mentioned there about the style of play, and that's also been refreshing. And I think Tony, you know, allows his players to express them. You look at that try from Michael Lewis against Warrington. It's not a kind of, you know, the modern style, perhaps, where it's all about grinding down and wrestling and, you know, five drives and a kick. There's a lot more expression there. And I think, I guess, tied to that, is the expectation now. I think a lot of people will view Holker, in terms of the other teams and the other fans, you know, as a bit of a target. There'll be pressure on them to back up what they did in 2021. You know, they're only one win from a grand final. So it's always hard once you've, you know, probably overachieved to maintain that. So that's going to be really interesting to watch. Because I think, you know, if you're a whole KR fan, or even if you're a general rugby league fan, you don't want to see whole KR back battling relegation this year. You know, because that's obviously been a common theme over time. But you want to see them try and build from that position. And you can look at Castleford, you know, when Darryl Power came in, they did that, built, you know, got to a couple of Challenge Cup finals, won the League Leaders Shield in 2017, made the grand final, and they've kind of managed to stay in that top six, top seven. Before that, they were, you know, amongst the sort of 12th, 11th, 10th. So I think that, you know, Holker can definitely do a similar kind of trajectory.
Yeah, and you know, we're desperate to have a bit of success consistently rather than sort of being a flash in the pan. And like you said, I think I speak for a lot of Rovers supporters when we say we're sick of being near the bottom, fighting relegation, because it's grinding, it's repetitive, and ultimately it's pretty miserable down near the bottom. And obviously the way Super League has been, not knowing one season from the next what relegation means, whether we're going to be down, whether we're going to have to play a playoff game, etc. So hopefully we're on that upward trajectory. And I want to talk to you about recruitment, and obviously we've signed a number of players this season, Lachlan Coop being the standout. But before we speak about them, three players who came in last season, Corbin Sims, Brad Takarangi and Albert Bette, probably didn't hit the heights that many supporters expected. But obviously, I think there's a lot of mitigating circumstances around that, you know, COVID coming over, you know, at a time of uncertainty, and them three players are going to have a big pre-season under their belts. How important to Rovers' season do you think them three players will be? And if them three players manage to hit the heights that they have done previously, do you think that will spell a successful season for Rovers?
Yeah, I think probably all three probably didn't perform as well consistently as they would have liked to. I mean, Corbin Sims had quite a few concussions and a few injury battles there. I saw a bit of Vette, and, you know, he's a big body, and, you know, he looked to really make an impact when he came on. And obviously Takarangi, you know, a huge talent, probably wasn't as consistent. And obviously, you know, there's been that issue in the off season, so I'm not sure where that's going. So hopefully, you know, for Holker's sake, that can get sorted. But for me, Lachlan Coote, you know, really, really exciting capture. I mean, I think I broke the story, and no one really believed me. I think that was a bit of a statement of intent. You know, for St. Helens, you know, one of the best players in the competition, one of their best players, double grand final at that stage, to choose to go to Holker, that shocked a lot of people. And I think that is a bit of a sign of where Holker is going as a club. And I think, you know, him being there, I think he's got at least another year, maybe more, in his legs. He's a very smart footballer. And when you've got someone like Phoenix, Lalage, Tomuge coming through, who can learn off Lachlan, that for me is a big win, because I think Lachlan is a fair improvement on Adam Quinlan, you know, who was a decent player as well.
Yeah, and I think the biggest part of that is the influence Tony Smith has, and the draw he has on players, and the way he's able to coax players probably to come to Rovers who might have looked the other way previously. I was going to say about Tony Smith, he's obviously got his passion for the game back. He spent a bit of time away from it doing various things. I think at one stage he was working with the Premier League and doing all kinds of bits and bobs. He's out of contract at the end of the season, and there's a few rumours that Leeds are sniffing around, and contract talk seems to be, well, not really talked about. So we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But how worried should we be as Rover supporters that Tony Smith might not be here come 2023?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard the rumours about Tony. I did ask him. He flatly denied it. He is good friends with Rich Agar, who's expected to go to a director of rugby role at Headingley. But, yeah, he flatly denied it. He seems very happy at OKR. And I think in terms of not signing a new deal yet, it's just a case of him learning perhaps from long deals before at Warrington. And I think he'd kind of fallen out of love with the game at Warrington. You know, I think the players have gone off him a bit at Warrington, and you know that was reflected in the last season there. He's definitely got his love back for the game. He's not, you know, particularly old, is it, or definitely not past it. So I think it's it makes sense. You know, to you don't want to pin yourself down to a 4 or 5 year deal if you know after 2 years you know things aren't going well and you know that enthusiasm isn't there. So speaking to Paul Aiken as well, I mean, he seems fairly comfortable with where it's at. There's not a concern. So yeah, I don't think it's a massive thing. Obviously, Leeds are looking for a coach. They've been linked with Anthony Seibold. I know they've had talks with Ryan Carr, who is at Featherstone. It seems like at this point, obviously, Richard Agar will see out this year at Leeds, and they're looking at 2023. But, I think, you know, judging by Tony's word, he's not going to Leeds. So that's what we'll take that.
Yeah.
That was a good way to finish, mate. You'll see a massive smile on my face because Celtic have gone 3-0 up against Rangers, so I'll be texting my dad in a moment. But really good interview with John there. Really nice bloke, you know, really clued up on the game. He knows he's got a lot of content, a lot of ins at certain clubs. And I think that thing about Tony Smith's right, he was learning to love the game again, and he might not think, why am I going to sign a 3-4 year deal and something might happen, or he might be a little bit worried about what happened at Warrington might happen at Rovers. But I think if we can emulate what we've done before we go into our preview of this year, mate, I think as good as the team were, it's all down to Tony Smith changing it with Paul Lake and the ethos of the club, the backfield stuff, getting the likes of Danny Maguire, Stanley Jean, Dave Olsen, getting that four coaches, as you can call it, even though Tony's the head, they all work together. We heard when we got George Lawler on the Heritage Cast, Adam Quinlan, about how all four of them are equal in their own way, and Tony knows that and respects that as well. And I just hope we can kick on, have a good first half of the season, and Tony be rewarded with another few years deal, because I think as long as he's at the Realm working with Danny Maggs, I've gone over it so many times about that going up in the building blocks, about getting Danny Maggs preparing for a head coach role, which I think eventually will happen. But I think for me, Tony Smith's the key man at the minute, and all the players seem to love him, so long may that continue, and I hope we see him sign a deal after a good start to 2022.
Yeah, and thanks for everybody who's put a comment in the on YouTube and on Facebook, and we'll get to everybody's comments as we go along. Sam, he's put he still thinks Tony and Magsy will end up at Leeds at the end of the year. Obviously, you know, like you said, John Davidson is connected, and pretty much what he says normally does happens. Happen. And he's quietly confident that Tony Smith is going to remain a Robin. I do ask him about Danny Maguire in the next part of the interview, so make sure you stay tuned for that, because he gives his opinion on where Danny Maggs might end up at the end of the season. So it's a very interesting listen. But, you know, for the future of the club, you know, we want to keep people like Tony Smith, Danny Maggs, Dave Hodgson, Stanley Jean, because they've got a good thing going. You know, they seem to have got a good thing going, and there seems to be some real good unity between the players, the coaching and management staff, and on the off-field staff in Paul Aiken, etc. So the longer we can keep them people around, the better for me.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And that was a really good interview. Part one, we'll be doing your remaining rest of your interview with John at the end of the show. So let's go into it, guys. This is me and Chris, man, and Chris's 2022 season preview for Hull, Kingston Rovers, and a little bit of the rest of Super League. So before we start, I will go over the ins and outs and the squad numbers and what happened in 2021 of the Robin. So the ins are obviously Lachlan Coote, the star man from St Helens, on a 2-year deal. Tom Garrett from Dewsbury Rams on a 2-year deal. Frankie Halton from Featherstone also on a 2-year deal. Phoenix Loali Tonga guy from Keighley on a 2-year deal. And Sam Wood from the Huddersfield Giants with a 1-year deal with with the option to extend. A lot of people don't know that, but it is a 1 year and with an extension clause as well. The losses are George Lawler, who was gone to Castleford Tigers, and Adam Quinlan, who's retired. Remember, our Heritage Cast with George and Adam are available now on all our podcast pages and our Linktree. Really good interview there. Owen Harrison has gone to Dewsbury. Annie Sue Madotti has gone to the Keighley Cougars, and Muz Mustafa has returned back to the Leeds Rhinos on loan. In 2022, Rovers finished 6 out of 12. They got beat in the semi-final to the Catalan Dragons, 80 minutes away from Old Trafford, a fantastic achievement. And we got beat in extra time of the fourth round of the Challenge Cup against Castleford Tigers. And that was only the third game of the season. So the squad numbers, Tony Smith has gone with 33. So I will go from top to bottom. So Lachlan Coote gets the one shirt. At number two, it's Ben Crooks. Brad Takarangi is in three. Sean Kenny Dowell, the captain, in four. Ryan Hall gets number five. Number six is retired for the one and only Roger Millwood. Number seven is England international Jordan Abdul. Albert Vettey gets the eight shirt, with Matt Parcell retaining nine. George King is the number 10. Dean Hadley is number 11. The big red machine, Kane Lynette, takes 12. And Matty Staunton comes into the starting 13 for the first time. He gets the number 13 shirt. Going down, Jez Litton is number 14 with Louis Johnson at 15. Corbin Sims swaps with George King, so he takes the 16 shirt this year. And Elliot Minchella, who is back after his ACL, is number 17, our vice-captain, of course. Jimmy Carnhorse is 18 with Will Dagger at 19. Number 20 is Mikey Lewis. 21 is his other halfback, is Rowan Milnes. 22 is Will Maher. 23 is Ethan Ryan. 24, new signing Sam Wood. 25 is Greg Richards, who I didn't even mention in the ins. We do forget about Greg Richards. I do apologise. Again, Tom Garrett takes 26 and Frankie Halton 27. Will Tate, who looks to continue after his good run at the end of the year, takes 28. Phoenix Loali Tonga guy is 29. And youngsters Charlie Kavanagh, Connor Moore, Dan Okoro, and Max Cartwright take 30 to 33, respectively. The head coach is Tony Smith, and the assistant coaches are Danny Maguire, Stanley Jean, and Dave Hodgson. The chief exec is Paul Lakin, and the chairman is Neil Hudgel. Chris, there's so much to discuss with the year, and we'll go into it soon, but I think for Hull Kingston Rovers hitting the heights of 2021, as good as it was, it still feels like it didn't happen. I think when you do the podcast, as much as we are independent, you kind of go with the flow. And we got bigger as the team started getting better and we started going up in the rankings. And some of them atmospheres last year after a COVID hit season just proved that the fight's still there in Hull Kingston Rovers. And that's why we bang on about keeping Tony Smith, what Paul Lakin's doing off the field. I think in 2022, I'll be honest, a lot of people are expecting Rovers to go a little bit better or maybe go higher. I don't think that's going to happen. I think we'll be challenging for the six, and I know a lot of people will agree with me and disagree. I think if we can keep Lachlan Coote on the field, he's definitely an astute signing up there with Sam Tompkins for the best fullback in the league. I'm really excited to see what this Hull Kingston Rovers side can produce, because we have invested in quality, we've invested in championship quality as well, and that can pay off. That can pay off. I mentioned him so many times, but he's one of my favourite front rowers of all time. Alex Walmsley signed from Batley. Look at him now in Super League. Do you know what I mean? So that is where Garrett, Frankie Alton, Greg Richards, these guys can hit them heights. On the other hand, Rovers have only signed Lachlan Coote with probably exemplary Super League quality right now, but we've kept similar teams. We've only released the likes of Greg Minikin, Adam Quinlan, who featured for 10-15 games last season. So the core of this side, the passionate core of this side, is still here. Elliot Minchella is going to be like a new signing. So many things can happen this year. We're not even at round one yet, and I'm still baffled about who's going to land where, who's going to finish where, but that's rugby league, and you won't change it for the thing. Who would have thought this time last year we'd have been talking about Rovers finishing in a semi or Toulouse coming up? It's a really exciting year for the game, World Cup, new TV deal, and we're just a little part of it in the podcast. It's great to be a rugby league fan at this moment with all the TV exposure and all the stuff happening at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's massive, mate. It's absolutely massive. And you know, I think you're right to say that Rovers fans might need to sort of temper their expectations around the team next season. I think there was, you know, like he alluded to in the interview with John Davidson, there was a lot of mitigating circumstances that led Rovers to finish where they did last season, as well as Rovers being a very good rugby league team, you know, but there was a lot of circumstances around that helped us get to where we was. This season is going to be very tough. It's going to be very tough for a number of reasons. we've got a condensed season, so we're playing a hell of a lot of fixtures in a shorter space of time. I think it's going to be one of the most competitive seasons for a long time. I think there's going to be a number of teams who expect to finish in the playoff spots, not just hope, but expect. And then when you've chucked Rovers into that mix, you know, you've got to wonder where Rovers fit into that. Should we do better than last season? Well, doing better than last season is finishing the grand final. Is that realistic? Who knows? You know, will the proof will be in the pudding as such, because we'll see how they go. But for me, I think there's got to be an element of not necessarily standing still, but trying to replicate what we did last season. And for me, that's finishing in the playoffs. Any playoff position, it would be a massive success for me. And the reason I think that is because when you predict the starting lineup for the first game of the season, probably there's two players difference from the team that you'd predicted to start the very first game of last season. So there's not been a huge turnover of players. And I think for me, that's that'll benefit us, because I think Tony Smith moulded a really tight unit. And I think you've seen that in the recruitment. But also it's going to be a long season. And like I said, there's going to be times when we're relying on Garrett, we're going to rely on Richards, we're going to be relying on Frankie Holton to come in and do a job, because there's going to be injuries. There's going to be times when some of our star players are going to be missing. And you only have to see the fixture list to see some of the months where fixtures are condensed to realise that players are not going to be able to back up as we might expect them to. But I'm excited, Joe. I'm looking forward to it, because I want to see Rovers pitting the wits against the best teams in the league. And I think JJB came out. He's been announced as a new Sky pundit, hasn't he, today, along with John Wilkin. And he's expecting Rovers to shock a few people. And maybe that's got to be our mantra, like it was last season, you know, to rock the apple cart a bit and to do things that people don't expect us to do. And if we can do that on more than enough occasions, then I'm sure we'll end up in them playoff spots.
I think my personal goal this year would be to try and get to the semi or the final of the Challenge Cup, as well as having a good cement in Super League and maybe getting to that sixth place or missing out on the playoffs. You look at the past six, probably since we got there in 2015, every year there's been a surprise package in that Challenge Cup final. You know, who's got to the final? You've had Castleford get there, Salford have got there, Catalan have won it, you know. And I think I'd love us to get to, it's not a Wembley this year, people need to remember that, it's at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, the first ever Challenge Cup final there. And it'd be great to go, because I feel like we've got something there. And when Rovers played off the cuff in them, what them Challenge Cup games are, and grinding results out. Last year, that was when Rovers were at the best. You look at the Wigan away game, where there was about five Rovers fans who actually made it to the DW and got in through getting a membership for the home. You know, the diehard Rovers fans who made that trip. And going to Castleford when there was only a few of us there. And even games that you ended up losing, the Catalans game at home, where we was with them right to the very end, and that attitude and that, you know, live, you know, you've got to go, you've got to die for the badge. And I think if we can replicate that this year, you know, the Challenge Cup rounds are coming thick and fast. It's going to be a May final, I believe, so it's not going to be in August. So within the next 5 months, the Challenge Cup will be over, so we'll know the winners of that. So normally it comes down to, well, we're resting players in the league because we've only got a few games left. We need to cement that, stay up from relegation. We've got a Challenge Cup final. Whereas now, I think you'll only be about 12, 13 games into the season. So I'm really hoping that element of surprise still stays with us, and we've got that bit of pizzazz in that Challenge Cup, because the past few years, you know, in 2020, without that Challenge Cup was a farce when we ended up getting hammered on telly against Leeds. Last season we was hammering Castleford and still was a bit raw, still was getting on our feet, learning the Tony Smith way, losing in the last second and then going into Golden Point was just horrendous, how we lost that game. But I don't know, I think you've got to take every team with a pinch of salt, because you can make an argument for every team, I think, outside that top three, four, who are going to be fighting for any position. I think due to when I did my preview, I did think Toulouse would go down, but now with the vaccine argument with Jonathan Ford and I think Mark Carella. They're two main players who have been their two best players for the past half a decade, maybe coming up to 10 years now in the south of France. Them two are, they're going to go to another Super League club. They're getting released. I know Jonathan Ford already has. I think the same Mark Carella is. And there's a few people who don't want to get the vaccine, and the French authorities and the organisation over there won't allow them to play for Toulouse. And that'll be an issue when we go to Catalan and Toulouse. We don't know what whoever's got the vaccine or who hasn't throughout the other 11 Super League teams, but whoever's not won't be allowed to fly over. So that'll be a bit of an issue once we go over there, because we go three times, remember, Chris. But I think you look at any team, I think Leeds have recruited really well. Salford have in their own right. Wakefield, I think, will be struggling again. You know, I think Hull will really struggle. I'll be honest, I'm not doing that to get any bites. I really do think they will struggle. But then you've got us, Castleford, all going into new eras. Castleford have got Lee Radford as the coach. Warrington have got Daryl Powell. So they're entering a new era. We're in a new era because we're expected to do different now, not because we've got a big transition, but we're going from finishing 11th for the past three seasons to finishing technically third and fourth, just getting beat in the semi-final along with Leeds. We was in the top four who ended up in Super League. And I think you've got Saints who have lost a lot of players who have got a lot of Aussie imports over, so it's how they gel. Catalan have got big shoes to fill. Every team you can digest and you can, you know, dissect every bit of their on-field or off-field issue.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, I'll jump in there, because while you mention other teams, I've got Sky Bet released their grand final odds today.
All right, yeah. Ooh, let me guess ours. I'm going to say 50s.
No, much more generous than that. But it pretty much tells you what they predict the table to be like at the end of the season. You've got St. Helens, obviously, favourites on 2-1. Warrington, 4-1. You've got Catalans, 9-2. Leeds, maybe a bit of a surprise, 6-1. Yeah, Wigan, 6-1. Castleford, 12-1. You've got the Bin Dippers at 16-1. You've got us and Huddersfield on 28-1. And then you go Salford 40-1, Wakefield 80-1, and Toulouse, the rank outsiders, at 125-1. So the bookies are definitely not backing the Robins to finish in that grand final, which I think we all know is probably going to be a tall order. But looking at the odds, you'd also suggest that the playoffs look out of reach according to the bookies.
Yeah, and you go back to this time last year, we must have been about 50s, 80s, you know. So that don't mean much. You look at Leicester when they won the Premier League, there was 5,000-1, weren't they, at the beginning of the season. But I think they've got every right to say that, because a lot of people are expecting Rovers to go back to what we was, just because of what people are saying, that element of surprise, that novelty wears off of how we got to that such high point, and you can come back down to earth. And that's what's so exciting about this year as a Rovers fan, is I've still got that expectation in my head that we're still at the bottom and we're still struggling, whereas people will be going, oh no, Rovers, they've got worth a cheeky 20 quid. Sam
thinks it's a worth a cheeky 20 quid, I suppose. Well, stranger things have happened, haven't they?
They have, but obviously the bookies think if that means you put 20 quid on, you're going to lose 20 quid. But I don't know, Sam, do that and in 8 months come back to us when you've
buys a pint.
Yeah, you've won quite a footer, and we're celebrating for a week because we've won the grand final. But I'll just be honest, going away from Rovers, you do this, don't you, in pre-season. As soon as the season's over, I'm looking forward to a break, especially when there was no World Cup. You've got about 4 or 5 months off. Concentrate on football, you know, for me and you, Chris, who like our footy as well. But then as soon as it gets closer, oh, I can't wait. And this year is going to be excellent. I mean, you've already had Premier Sports showing Featherstone and York the other night. You've got the Channel 4 deal. You've got it on the Our League app still. You've got the Challenge Cup on BBC, Sky Sports, Catalan back on Sky on a Saturday, the World Cup at the end of the year, the NRL State of Origin. There's an abundance of rugby this year, and it's great. The Duchess of Cambridge today was announced as one of the patrons of Rugby League alongside the Rugby Union Federation, so joining codes there. And it's just about spreading the word and getting that exposure back.
I'm sure that's probably where Danny wants to go.
Chris, if you bring John into it one more time, I swear you've got a new host and I'm leaving.
He's knocking on the door trying to get in.
He wants to get a word in edgeways from me and you. But no, I'm just really excited for this season, mate. We've had a glimpse of it, haven't we, at Dewsbury and Huddersfield. But the real stuff starts next week against Matty Peat's Wigan Warriors. And we haven't even mentioned they're a brand new team set. You know, the first time Matty Peat's going to be a head coach. He's got Lee Breers, Sean O'Loughlin, Sean Wayne as his backroom staff against Tony Smith and Danny Maguire's Hull Kingston Rovers. We did the double over them last year. They finished fourth, but they came under a lot of criticism. So they're going to come out firing. Patrick May, Cade Crust, Jai Fields back, you know, you've still got Tommy Luluai at about 150 still playing in the halfbacks, and they're going to be a bit of a surprise package, because they could go one way or the other. I think if Rovers can get that Craven Park rocking, Sky Sports next Friday, start round one with a win. Before we speak about who's going to be playing where, I just can't wait to get back under the lights and hopefully repeat that 26-14 victory back in August, wasn't it, when Jez went over for that try, and after the full length, it was unbelievable scenes. And hopefully we can replicate that with more fans this year, because the boys need backing. We're up 5,000 members, that'll have gone up, but we're hoping to see a lot more in Sewell Group Craven Park, because there's nothing like it, is there? Like a lot of our guests, including Sky Sports' Jenna Brooks, has said, Craven Park, under the lights, there's not a better atmosphere in rugby league.
Yeah, and that game against Wigan last season featured my try of the season, when obviously Jez Litton went under. It was fantastic, and we saw what difference the crowd can make when they get behind the boys. And, you know, if you can't get up for the first game of the season, I don't know when you can get up for it. Craven Street will be full, you know, plenty of people on the source, which is great to see. I think Wigan will bring a good crowd over, despite it being on Sky on a Friday night. So it's got all the hallmarks of a real good night. And obviously, we're recording this podcast on the Wednesday. It was 3 years ago to the day yesterday when Jimmy Kynos scored that famous try, and what a night that was. So if we get anything like the scenes we saw then, it'll be a fantastic occasion. But we've mentioned Wigan. We've seen a few predicted lineups on social media today. I'm going to give you my lineup, Joe. I think how we're going to line up. And
yeah,
then if you want to give us yours. So I've gone, obviously, Lachlan Coote, Ryan Hall, Sean Kenny-Dowell, Brad Takarangi, Sam Wood, Lewis and Abdul in the halves, George King starting with Matty Staughton and Parcell at hooker, Linnett and Hadley at second row, and Minchella at loose forward. And then on the bench, I've gone Vette, Sims, Litton, and maybe a bit of a surprise, I've gone Jimmy Kynhorst.
Yeah, I'm going to go same backs, you know, first seven, obviously. So Coote, Sam Wood, Taka, SKD, Ryan Hall, Lewis and Abdul. I think George King, Matt Parcell, Albert Vette. I'm going to go, I think Staughton will start at 13 with Dean Hadley and Kane Lynette in the second row. I think on the bench will be Corbin Sims, Jez Minchella, and yeah, probably it depends what he wants to go with. If he wants to go beat him up front, you can imagine, because Will Maher's out and he prefers Will Maher, maybe a Greg Richards or a Tom Garrett, or I'm trying just to think, but yeah, maybe a Jimmy Kynhorst as well, probably them three, I imagine.
Yeah, I think Kynhorst, just for his utility value and his ability to play in the forwards, but also, you know, do a job if needed.
Yeah, because then Taka could go in the seconds or whatever. I mean, you've got to play what's in front of you, aren't you, as well? You don't know what's going to happen. I think that was why Mr. Versatility, Jimmy Kynhorst got a year deal, Chris, just because he can play literally, apart from halfback probably, but he could still probably do a job there. He can play every position. And that just shows that he is quite vital. He's a lot like James Milner at Liverpool, isn't he? He's a veteran now. He's going on. He's not as old as James Milner, but you play him at left back, centre mid, attacking mid, and he can play that for Liverpool. Whereas Jimmy Kynhorst did that for Old Kingston Rovers. He played prop, second row, loose forward, centre wing. You know, he did a job everywhere for the red and whites, and totally deserved that extra year. And that's probably why he gets in a lot of the time.
Yeah, and Tony Smith announced today that every player, apart from obviously Louis Johnson and Ben Crooks, had put their hand up to say that they want to play in that first game of the season. Can you see a scenario, though, where maybe it's a game too soon for Minchella? Obviously, he's not featured in pre-season. He was waterboy for the Huddersfield game. Could it be a game just a bit too soon for him?
I think they'll all be named, them new kids, you know, the new kids who are coming back from injury. But I won't be surprised. Do you know what? I really won't be surprised to see Will Dagger line up at fullback. It might even be a game too soon for Lachlan Coote. There's a lot of man games, isn't there? And as much as we want to see Lachlan Coote out there for Kingston Rovers, if he's not 100%, we've got Huddersfield 8 days later, and then we've got 23, 24 more games if we're with the cup and the playoffs. So he's got a lot of rugby in him. And if he's not ready for, I'd wish he'd have played even 20 minutes in that pre-season match, because I'd have loved to have just seen him get his hands on the ball. I think it's hard to play round one when you've missed two pre-season matches, but they're professionals. But yeah, it's one of them. I do think they'll all be named. Maybe Ethan Ryan might get the nod, or I imagine Will Dagger will, just because if he'll name him as maybe the winger or the fullback, if Kudu gets injured, or he could go on the wing if he wants to mess around with Wood or Takarangi. Again, Will Dagger can play anywhere in them backs, from outside back to full back to half back. Literally, he's played everywhere. And that's what Rose have got a lot of this year, utility, which is really good. But I think when the teams gets announced this time next week, we'll see. We'll be doing our fans forum then, Chris. We'll be doing our Wigan preview, our round one preview, and we'll still be guessing who's going to be naming the 17, because what we've found out with Tony Smith since he took over from Sheens in 2019, he can name a 21-man squad and you haven't got a clue. It don't matter if it was the semi-final or a pre-season friendly. It's never the same squad that you imagine in your head and you go over 10 times before the match.
Yeah. And just before we bring John Davison in for the second part of his interview, just a couple of questions. Finlay Clark, Joe, he's asked, who are you most excited to watch this season?
If he's like from Rovers players, probably, you know, Coots the obvious answer, isn't he? But for me, it was probably Sam Wood or Garrett or Richards or Halton. Probably Sam Wood, what I've seen of him in the first two games, mate. You know, good question. But I think just because the Crooks is going to be out for the next 2 months, I think on a personal note, Sam Wood would get in over Crooks anyhow. I don't think Crooks would get into my starting team at this moment in time. But I think if Sam Wood can prove what he's done at Huddersfield, you look at his highlights on YouTube and his assist is strong, he's powerful, he's fast, and that's what you've got to be. And I think he'd definitely be the most exciting player for watching all Kingston Rovers colours. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, for me, there's two. One is Sean Kenny-Dowell. I just think he oozes class. I just love watching him. He seems ageless at the moment. You know, we saw it in the friendly against Huddersfield, really. He almost plays with minimal effort, but everything he does has a touch of class with it. His offload game is fantastic. We saw a couple go to Hall, didn't we? I think he made a little fumble, but that partnership's fantastic, and I love the fact he's our captain. The one that I'm really looking forward to is Jordan Abdul, and I think in a World Cup year, I think he's really going to cement his place in the club as our main attacking threat, and I think he's really gonna show us what he can do, which leads us into our next question, and it's been talked about recently, is from Michael Morton, and it's, who do you think will be the goal kicker for the season?
Abdul.
Yeah, obviously he's got 100% record in pre-season so far, which obviously bodes well, but Lachlan Coote is obviously a fantastic kicker, isn't he?
He is, and you know, he just kicked in a grand final and got, I think, 4 out of 4, didn't he, in a grand final. So he's not a bad kicker as well. He's been practicing, you know. Milnes can kick as well. We're 14 from 14. We haven't missed a kick in pre-season because Rowan got two in the, did he get two or three in the second half against Dewsbury? But yeah, we haven't missed a kick, but come round one, we won't be able to hit a barn door from 5 metres out. We'll miss it in front of the sticks probably to win the game. But I imagine, it's Coote left-footed, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they're both left-footed, aren't they? So I was going to say, you could even look at which side you're from. But yeah, I imagine we'll see both of them. But at this moment in time, come round one, I imagine it'll be Jordan Abdul. But that's just my personal opinion. What do you think? I don't know. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Abdul's the main man, isn't he? And he's almost someone who wants to be. I think the more responsibility you give Jordan Abdul, the more he thrives on it.
Yeah, he shines, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he wants to be that man. But we've got a more than able backup, haven't we, in Lachlan Coote? And I will say, tongue firmly in cheek, I think it puts Ben Crooks further down the list of kickers after...
Me and you were above him in the kickers.
But no, we'll bring the... we've got the second part of the John Davison interview. In this part, he talks about Danny Maguire as a potential head coach in the future. Rovers in 2022, our new signings, and who might finish where in the playoff spots in 2022.
An exceptional player. He knows the game. Very, very intelligent, very smart player. He's got a great relationship with Tony, and I think learning off Tony, you know, obviously he's played under some great coaches in his day, but learning off Tony at the moment and just earning his stripes is brilliant. So I think, you know, long term, he could be a coach at Hull KR. I think, you've got to kind of look in that way with your assistants. I think different coaches look at it different ways. Some don't want someone who's a threat to them. And I think others really try and, you know, build their assistants and groom them for future roles. So I think it's a great setup that Holker have got at the moment. And, you know, I don't think, you know, Tony's going to be there for 10 or 15 years. So, you know, having a succession place in succession plans or in place is a smart thing.
Yeah, and obviously off-season, it's such a difficult time for supporters because, you know, we're all thinking of Rovers hitting the heights of last season again, but at one stage you've got a bit of trepidation until they get actually out onto the field and playing rugby. You haven't sort of got any clue really to how anyone's going to do. But what do you think the main threats to Hulkington Rovers having a successful season are?
I think expectation is a big thing. Speaking to Tony just before New Year's, you know, he was sort of stressing that last year was last year and, you know, they can't rest the laurels on that. That's been put to bed. I think if you go into any season thinking, you know, we'll be top five, top six and, you know, it'll be easy, then you're fooling yourselves. I think, there will be tough moments of the season. Injuries is always one, you know, that can rip apart any club. And I guess, you know, performances, you know, with those young players, the Mikey Lewis's, the Rowan Mills, et cetera, getting more experience last year has only got to be a good thing. Those guys grooming through. And it is interesting. I know this is something Tony mentioned to me a while ago, but obviously the fact that Holker were safe from relegation so early in the season was they didn't have to dip into that recruitment market so late. So you can actually plan a season or two ahead. And they only made minimal signings, which I think is a good thing. You do want a settled squad. You don't want to be ripping apart a squad every 12 months, 10 months. And also recruiting at the end of the year, you don't have the pick of the players that are available. You know, recruitment's usually done April, May, if not earlier. So it's interesting that they've sort of picked three young guys there, but in just trying to remember the names off the top of my head, but Frankie Holton, Tom Garrett, and obviously Phoenix. So, yeah. You know, they're looking...
We've got Greg Richards from London as well.
Yeah, Greg Richards, yeah. Obviously, he's been around for a while, but dipped in and out of Super League. But, you know, there's some youngish players there, some players, you know, that they're going to look to give, you know, minutes to and build over the next couple of years. So, for me, you know, looking from the outside, that's it's a good policy.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how they work the reserve grade and dual reg and how they're going to get game time to some of these players. And I think it's going to be interesting just for rugby league in general to see how the reserve grade competition works and how clubs make the most of it. But I think there was definitely a need to bolster our squad and get more bodies in there. And, you know, the formula they've gone for in terms of getting players who are maybe late developers and who are eager to impress in Super League could be definitely something that works out for us. I agree that the ability to sign players early and not worry about relegation is definitely helped. I just wonder, do you think Toulouse are going to struggle as a result of not having that opportunity to sign players? Because when you look at their squad on paper, it seems very thin, especially if injuries start to bite.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think that's one of the issues with promotion and relegation. Obviously, you know, a lot of fans want it, but clubs, and I put Hull KR until obviously last season, they've been in that group for a long time. Wakefield have been, Salford, a couple of other clubs. Obviously, Lee, it's so hard to come up from the Championship Super League and stay up. You know, Lee were terrible last year. And, you know, to be credit, they only got the decision midway through December. They didn't get full funding and there wasn't many players available. But London, you know, couldn't beat the drop. Holker were really the only club, you know, that's been able to do it in probably the last 10 years. You know, Toronto obviously only played 5 games, but they lost all 5. So it is really, really hard to come up and survive. And I think you have to strengthen a lot. And you just don't, you know, there aren't the best players available at that time. And if you look at what Toulouse have done, they haven't signed, you know, they haven't signed many players and they've probably not signed, you know, I would have liked to have seen them pick out some more experienced players from the NRL. You know, if you look at, you know, maybe the funds aren't there, but if you look at what Catalans have done, you know, bringing in Mitch Pearce, Dylan Napa and Tyrone May. You know, if they could have brought in one of those kind of players, or, you know, a Mitch Pearce, it'd make a huge difference, I think. So I'd personally love to see Toulouse stay up, but, you know, the bookies have got them bottom for a reason. And I think if you look on paper and, you know, recent history, they are the massive favourites to go down. I think it's going to be a really hard season for them.
Before we find out where we can catch you during the 2022 season, with the playoffs, I think, you know, Catalan St Helens are maybe going to be way out there again, like there was last season. But realistically, I think there's probably seven teams below them who all have all got a chance of getting the playoffs. Who do you think the runners and riders might be for them playoff spots?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really wide open. I mean, there's so much change, you know, with Daryl Powell going to Warrington. You know, they've made a few signings, so it's going to be fascinating to see what happens at Warrington. Wigan have got a new coach, Matty Pete, who's never coached in Super League before. They've lost Jackson Hastings and Oliver Gildart, so is that a rebuild there? And, you know, there'll always be pressure at Wigan. Obviously, Lee Radford going to Cass, and, you know, they've made a lot of changes. Hull FC, which I'm sure you'll be happy and many listeners know, were pretty terrible last year or two-thirds of the year, so massive pressure on Brett Hodgson. What else we've got? Yeah, Huddersfield again, Ian Watson, pretty tough year, first year at the Giants, so there's pressure on him. Yeah, Catalans, I think, you know, you're looking at their squad, they'll be up in the top two, top three. I'm just trying to think, who am I missing? You know, Salford, I think they'll be battling, you know, to beat the drop, but there's a lot of competition there. Leeds, I think they'll be in the playoff places. I don't think they'll be, you know, contending for the title at Old Trafford, but I think they're definitely improving. So there's a lot of unpredictability, which I think is great. You know, you don't want to see every year the same teams in the grand final. Well, I personally don't. So it's great to see, you know, new teams emerging. And we've seen that, obviously, Catalans last year, Salford, you know, we've seen Hull KR in that final four last year as well. So, you know, long may that continue.
And any outside tips for the Challenge Cup?
It's always a tough one, the Challenge Cup. I think, you know, you probably only really, as a Super League team, would need to win three games. But, yeah, I think Hull KR would be, you know, a fair chance. I think Warrington are kind of proven as a bit of a cup team. And outside of that, yeah, it's pretty open. Yeah. Just, yeah, hopefully if Hull KR get there, it's not like 2015.
No, we definitely need a return, because there's a lot of wrongs that we need to right after that. And when we do our heritage cast, it's one of the hot topics, but I think we're getting sick of talking about how rubbish it was in 2015. But John, I think it's definitely shaping up to be one of the most exciting Super League seasons for a long time. Tell us what you're on with at the moment, where we can catch you, where we can read you writing, where we can listen to you, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, lots of different places. Obviously got a podcast, By the Balls, which you can get on pretty much all the podcast providers, iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, etc. Just done an interview with Paul Anderson, who's joined the RFL. Talks obviously about that and, you know, his career in numerous clubs. And we've had, you know, recent guests on, Matty Pete, the new Wigan coach, Steve Mascord, who's got a new rugby league book out, and lots of other ones. In terms of written content, Patreon site, rugbyleaguehub.com/longreads. Lots of good stuff going up there every day, unique and exclusive content. Also in the eye, from time to time, depending on when you listen to this, got a story coming out in the paper tomorrow, Friday, the 14th. So also everything rugby league and League Express on occasion. So yeah, lots of places, and give me a follow on Twitter at Johnny D. Davidson as well, if you can.
I've listened to both of them, so well done there. You know, I thought it was really good. Bad John, again, friend of the podcast. Check him out. Check his podcast out. Follow him on Twitter. He's a really nice guy. But I think him, me, you, we're all singing off the same hymn sheet before we go into our predictions and wrap up the preview, mate. Apart from probably Catalan and Saints, again, it's seven teams, like you said. I can't put my finger on where anyone's going to finish, what anyone's going to start like. All I know is it's going to be a successful campaign. It's going to be entertaining, leading up to a home World Cup, and I'm really excited for the journey for all Kingston Rovers and for the other teams. It's going to be a really good challenge, and that's what makes this season so special for all Kingston Rovers as well, is as much as we've got a point to prove, so has everyone else. So it's a lot of a level playing field, and if Rovers can carry on, then we won't be far off.
No, and that's it. And obviously, you know, John mentioned that Rovers might be a good tip for the Challenge Cup this season.
I hope so, because I need to, I'm 24 now. I need to see something by the time I'm gone, hopefully in 50, 60 years. But I've got to see something soon. I can't do this any longer.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it. I mean, it's difficult because obviously there's only two trophies you can win in Super League. And
yeah,
it's not like the old days where you had, you know, umpteen amount of trophies,
BBC John Player, Two, all that. John Player,
Floodlit Trophy, Yorkshire Cup, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we are definitely starved of some success, and it'd be more than welcome this season, especially with it being played at Tottenham's new stadium, which is definitely on the bucket list to tick off. But yeah, it's interesting to see how we go, because for me, there's a long way to go in the season after that Challenge Cup, and I wouldn't want us to put all our eggs in one basket when you look at how many games are still to be played after that Challenge Cup final.
No, and we'll finish on predictions. I've took my Rovers head off for this, so I'd love to say, and we both would, wouldn't we, Rovers this, but I'm going to pretend that we don't exist, and I'm going to say what I think from a neutral perspective. So I think the Challenge Cup, I think Leeds are going to win it. I really do. I think they've signed really well. I think they're getting, you know, they're building something like the Wards. I've got a lot of young kids. I think Broadbent, Harry Newman at centre is just a fantastic player. Mikolaj Ledski, Cam Smith, alongside David Fufsiita, James Bentley, Zane Tetovano, Austin Caesar. Got a really good team. The grand final, do I think St Helens are going to make it four in a row? No, I don't. I've gone for Warrington, and I don't know why, because they always say it's always the year. I was going to put Catalan, and I've put it on my, you can read it there, it says Catalan Dragons, but I've changed my mind because I don't think they're going to get there now. I've changed my mind in the past 40 minutes, but I do think the Man of Steel is going to be my favourite player, which is not everyone's favourite player, but that's Sam Tompkins.
I thought he was going to say Jamie Ellis then.
No, Jamie's too busy picking up himself from missing that tackle on Monday night, bless him. So he won't be Man of Steel for a dot, I don't think. But don't slag my mate off anyhow on this podcast, or I'll be chucking you off. But yeah, I think Tompkins will win the Man of Steel. I think Toulouse will get relegated. Like John said, anyhow, they haven't strengthened in many positions. Plus the departures of Corella, Ford. I think, well, Corella's not announced yet, but it's big rumours. And Ford's definitely gone, and maybe a few more. So I do think they'll be ready for the drop back down to the Championship. The World Cup, as much as I don't want them to, and I want England to win it on home soil with the team that they're going to have, if they send them over, if every player comes over, you can't look past Australia personally. But yeah, I'd love to see England win the World Cup, Rovers to win the lot, but let's just be realistic and put our rugby league brain on, mate. What about you? Challenge Cup first, who are you going for?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Wigan.
Wigan.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be strong enough over the course of the season to be grand final winners, but I think they'll have enough to probably string a few results together to get them at least into the cup final, and then probably go on to win it. I think the grand final will be a repeat of last season. I think you'll see Catalans in there, and I think you'll see St Helens, and I can't see much past St Helens. Although I'm going to go for, this might surprise you, but Warrington to finish as league leaders.
Oh, I've done league leaders. I was going to put Saints as my league leaders, but maybe under Powell, because with them and like Radford and stuff as well, they can go either way, can't they? Because a brand new start is brilliant sometimes, but it can take a bit, the longevity of it can take a long while sometimes. But yeah, I know what you mean about Warrington. I just think you look at their squad numbers, like a lot of teams, you take away the first 17 and you're lacking a bit of quality in there.
Yeah, and I think they'll ultimately choke in the playoffs once again. Yeah. Well, cup-wise, I think you can't look further than Australia. I think they look very strong. You know, even if you took 5-6 players out of that squad, you know, first team players who you'd expect to start, they just fill them, don't they? And you know, although as much as I like England to do well, and I want England to do well, especially on home soil, I think it'll be a New Zealand-Australia final with us losing the semis once again. Going back to Super League, Man of Steel, tough one. I think there's a number of players, and I'm just going to have a cheeky bet on Jordan Abdul this season.
Nice. What about relegation? To lose?
Yeah, to lose will lose a lot. And I think, you know, we've already mentioned two of the star players aren't going to be featuring them for this season. Recruitment, very poor. I think they're relying a lot on home form and being able to turn over teams at home. But ultimately, I don't think they can rely on that over the course of the season. So I think Toulouse will be blown away by a lot of teams.
And who do you think will come up? We'll finish on that and we'll speak about that, me and you. I think you can't look far past Fev, in all honesty. I think once Joey Lalea, there was on about Josh Dugan maybe coming halfway through the season if they can get him, they've signed Cuthbertson alongside, you know, Craig Hall, Chisholm. They've got some brilliant players. I mean, you watch them on Premier Sport and against York, who've got a really good team as well. Lee Centurions, even the likes of Batley and stuff, they're pushing in. The Championship's getting better. Three Cumbrian teams now, so they'll be a lot of travelling. I remember when we spoke to Chris Wellham, their first three away games are Whitehaven, Lakington and Barrow. I know they got beat at weekend Sheffield as well, so Chris won't be happy with that. But I think if it comes down to a £1 million game, I imagine it's going to be Featherstone and Lee, and I think the Flat Cappers, the Yorkshire side, maybe coming up for the first time. And it's been a long time coming for them, because I know they're over £1 million on the cap now, and their chairman and fans are putting a lot of money into getting the Post Office Road side up to the top division.
Yeah, although I think they're still part-time, aren't they? And I think that's what might count against them in the end. I think Lee have maintained full-time status.
Yeah, they've signed some good players as well.
And Lee have signed some very good players. Yeah. And I think they've also got a bit of room probably to sign a few more during the season, where I think Featherstone have maybe gone big early.
Yeah.
And I think them two are going to be the standout teams this season. And you know, friend of the podcast, Craig Hall, you know, AOP goes well. I think he's very much nailed on to probably be Championship Player of the Year. He just oozes class, doesn't he? So I think he's going to go well. But for me, I think it'll probably be Lee Centurions who come up.
Yeah, really. Do you know what? There's so much to talk about in the end. Throughout the podcast, throughout the months, we're going to be discussing the ins and outs, what's happening in all divisions leading up to the World Cup. But really exciting times, mate, isn't it? And I'm just now ready for next week. We're going to have a bit of a fans forum. We'll announce who's on it later in due course once we get all that finalised. But that'll be nice to, I think, for me and you, want to mix it up a bit, getting interviews from John, getting three or four fans on next week to preview round one, doing more Heritage Cast. Well, that's what we really like, don't we? And that's what's to expect for our listeners now. You know, we've had so many people listening already. We're still getting over 500-600 listens on all our things in the first few weeks. Never mind hitting up to 800 to 1,000 on most things now. So really going well, and bigger and better in 2022 is hopefully a good year for rugby league, because that's all we want. And can't wait to hopefully see Rovers be successful and England as well, because I can't wait for the World Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be great next week. We've got the fans forum, so we've got a number of supporters coming on live onto the stream. And if you are listening to this on the podcast, you know, join us live next Thursday at 8 o'clock. Join in. We want people to comment. We want people to participate. You know, it's great that so many people have watched today, and we've had so many comments, questions, etc. We want more of that. We want people's opinions, and we want people to challenge us and let us know what they think. So it's you know, it's going to be great next week. That anticipation for the Friday night. I know from Monday I'll be a squeaky bum time, but it'd be great to get people's opinions on Thursday and sharing the excitement that everybody has.
Yeah, definitely. So great episode, mate. Remember, guys, Thursday the 10th of February, 8 p.m. We'll be live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, myself and Chris, and hopefully three or four other fans discussing the Wigan game and previewing round one of Super League. Chris, it's been great to speak to you. It's great to have John on the show. Obviously, he wasn't live. You recorded that a few weeks ago. And before it starts, this is probably our final one where it's nice and calm, where we're just discussing the ins and outs and nice and chilled out. Whereas this time next week, like you said, Craig, who's a great fan of the show, great preview, guys, already excited for the season to start. Give you a little sneak peek. You might hear Craig next week, because he's a great fan of the podcast and we're looking forward to getting his opinions as well, because he comments and shares enough. He has his right to come on the show. So, Craig, I'm looking forward to getting next week. Just sort your Wi-Fi out, because we don't want anyone messing it up, Chris. But, yeah, great episode, mate. It's been brilliant to speak to you. Remember, we are sponsored by 360 Chartered Accountants, Budget Tyres Auto Centre. They met up last week for the first time. Budget are sponsoring Mikey Lewis, 360 is sponsoring the club again. So make sure you check them out. I know a lot of people have messaged me. Adi Brown, one of my mates, went to Budget Tyres last week, got discount. A lot of the players do. Two really great local businesses who can't do enough for the podcast and for Hull Kingston Rovers, can they, Chris?
No, and like you said, you know, budget tyres, if you've got a Rovers membership for this season, get down there and ask them about discount on your tyres and MOTs and services, because they're more than willing to give you some. And 360 accountants, you know, I think they're sponsoring nearly everything at the club at the moment. So, like I said, back the boys, back the businesses who are backing the boys.
Yes, definitely. And back in the Red Robin podcast. So, sponsored by 360 Chartered Accountants and the Budget Tyres Auto Centre, with me, Jarrod Pleyard, and co-host Chris Johnson, this has been the Hull Kingston Rovers 2022 season preview. Chris, I will see you next week. Have a good one, buddy. Up the Robins. And up the Celtic, any Rangers fans that are listening. Cheers. Goodbye.